You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. Knockouts and Three Counts. Here once again with a brand new episode of Podcast Go.
Was that a beer? No, that was Mountain Dew.
Okay. I need something to wake up.
I heard you pop the top, man. I thought it was a beer. You know, I can't have beer this month. I got a little excited. I'm sorry. But
we're here once again with another episode. Hey, producer Randy's here. What's up, Randy?
I'll be right back.
Oh, he's not here. All right. Forget I said anything. But Kyle, why don't you go ahead and throw your social medias and all that good stuff out there. And after that, we'll jump into some of these topics.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T. Find me on Facebook, Kyle Collison, K-Y-L-E-C-O-L-L-I-S-O-N. And make sure you're following our show page, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast, on Facebook.
All righty. Hey, what's tell the people what we got going on this weekend, man? Oh, as you finish your pretzel.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, this weekend we will be live from the Copeland Center in Wyandotte, Michigan. We have BCWA Tag You're It. It's going to be a tag team tournament. We'll be doing a live show from there.
Yes, sir.
It'll be myself and Devin. And this Thursday, you can also check me out on Russell Talking the D. I don't know who it is they're going to have me debating against, but apparently I got to talk shit about wrestling against some guy. So I hope he knows what he got himself into. That'll be Thursday night.
Ooh, is that a challenge?
Hey, take it for what you want.
Hopefully you do better than you did against me. But go ahead.
I didn't care
you. But what's the name of the show again, and where can they find that?
Russell Talking the D. There's links on our page and the Facebook page. I will post up as soon as I know exactly what time and all those things. I should have that by tomorrow. So, all
righty.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that. Yeah,
looking forward to that. And I am Devin McKenzie. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. No, on Twitter. I'm sorry. On Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at AllSteak, No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News Group on Facebook. Caller, who do we have on the line?
What's up, fellas?
Is this the infamous Mike Blackwell?
This is. Oh, yeah.
Mike, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How's it been going today?
Good, good, good.
Hey, Mike. Good. So I don't have eyes on the studio. So who's there today?
Just Devin and
who do I.
I
know not. Okay, so I can talk crap about Tony Thunder.
Feel free to. We do all the time.
You can do it if he's here or not.
Yeah, you know, I hate to hurt his feelings.
Hey, Mike.
We don't.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media information out there and let people know what's going on this weekend.
This weekend, Tag You're At, the first round of our tag team tournament. Got a lot of good stuff going on this weekend. But go BCWA.com for all the event info, tickets, all the social media is plastered right there. Makes it much easier just to go to the website.
Okay. And where can people follow you on social media?
Oh, I'll find them. I don't know. I don't have all the people links. I don't know. It's probably Facebook, hashtag BCWA, something or other. I don't know.
All right. Well, everybody, make sure you go check out the Knockouts and Three Counts page on Facebook, and we'll tag all of Mike's information on there. But
well, thank you.
Yeah.
Make it much easier for me.
Yeah, we'll just make it easier.
I'm doing this whole internet thing.
It's only been around for what, 25, 30 years, something like that?
Close enough.
Yeah, but see, I never had a purpose to use it before.
Hey, that's fair.
Trust me, if it wasn't for the show, I would probably stay away from social media myself, man.
I'm not going to lie, dude, with the way my life's been going lately. I've already said this multiple times. If it weren't for the fact we have the show, I don't think I would have social media right now.
Yeah, no, I had a Facebook account, I don't know, years and years and years ago. I got one when MySpace was no longer a thing, and I think I was a little behind jumping ship, but I only used it to talk to cousins. I mean, that's like, you know, I what the hell do I need that for? But now I'm on it all the time. I can't pull away from it.
Yeah, such is life in 2018, man.
Yeah, I guess.
We're all falling into the trap.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So let's talk about Tag You're It, man. This is the tag team tournament. Is going to, I know it's two announced. It's going to be a two event program going on?
Yeah, the tournament's going to last. There are eight teams. You'll have your first four, your first eight teams competing in four matches at the show this Saturday at the Copeland Center in Wyandotte, Michigan. go bcwa.com for all the info so you can find out the exact location there. But yeah, the first round will be this Saturday. And then in 3 weeks, November 17th, we'll have part two where you'll have your finals and we'll crown the champion.
Wow, that's what's up. And, you know, not that we're biased or anything like that, but we're definitely pulling for a team made in Detroit with King Darrell and our own Tony Thunder.
Yeah, we just got to hope Tony Thunder doesn't get matched up against that big sumbitch that killed him last time.
Well, in his fairness, he didn't know. I mean, he didn't know who he was wrestling. He went out there and he was having a good time, you know, playing with the crowd. Then he realized he was in some trouble. So,
yeah, he wasn't too happy about
that. He knows who his opponent's going to be this time around.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about going up against Big Daddy Gaddy. That has left an impression in, literally and physically on his chest.
Yeah. Well, it only took him about 3 minutes to fall to the ground from that big chop, whatever the hell he did to him. when he dropped him on the ground.
Oh yeah,
wrestling stuff. Yeah, but power bomb. That's the word.
Yeah, it's power bomb.
I'm all over the place.
Man, I'm surprised he lasted 3 minutes, man.
That's what she said.
No, I mean, just the fall time itself was 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Being in the air to hitting the mat, mm-hmm. took 3 minutes.
Yeah, about three and a half. I'll give you that. But, talk to me about this tag team tournament that you got going on over the next two events. Like you said, this weekend, October 27th at the Copeland Center and November 17th at the Copeland Center as well. How did this come about, and how did these teams come about in this tournament?
Well, the whole concept of the tag team championship is, you know, the first five shows of BCBA's return are essentially setting a blueprint for how we're going to operate. And the first five shows are going to introduce new things. You know, you saw the championship introduced, and then over the next two, you're going to see the tag team championships introduced, and then we've got another championship belt coming too, and that's going to be introduced as well before the end of the year. For picking the tag teams, I wanted to, for the relaunch, I wanted to stick with a core group of my talented guys, the guys that I knew, I had faith in, and I wanted to reach out and see what the industry has to offer. So Aeroform was one of the front runners. They've competed all over the place. They've wrestled the Young Bucks. They've been all over. These guys are amazing. I figured they would be a great team to introduce into the tournament. We've got some other teams coming out the next show, but how that happens, I guess we'll just have to tune in to find out. But essentially, my partner put the matches together, figured the way that he wanted to play in everyone's strengths and kind of throw some teams together and get the first round going. We'll just see what happens at the show to see how they progress and who ends up with the straps next month.
So speaking of tag team matches, why don't we talk about Team Priest versus Team Blackwell from the last show? Give me your thoughts on
that. Yeah, eat that cheating bastard.
I guess we've already got an overview, but give me your thoughts on that match. And do you think we'll see any fallout from that spill over to the show on the 27th?
Oh, always. There's always going to be fallout. Priest and I, we're like oil and water. We don't mix well together. We're good friends. It's more of a competitive rivalry going on between us. But yeah, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, fellas. I mean, he got lucky. Yeah, you know, and unfortunately for me, I've got to suffer the consequences. Priest had the opportunity to make an executive decision if he won the match, and I'm an idiot, and I went for the bet, and he put Hudge in charge of the show. So there we go. So I can do what I can do before the show, but from bell to bell, I have no pull. So I guess that's a way for him to keep me in check, I suppose. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to find ways around it.
So another big thing from the last show was you had Colt Boom Boom Cabana with us, who you can see our interview with from the show on our page and in the podcast version. But that being said, you know, why don't you give the listeners a little idea of the things that are going to be different this time around with BCWA? I know you and I have talked about you bringing in some other names. Like, it seems like you guys are already off to a great start with Colt Cabana coming in. And, you know, it seems like you guys have got quite the list of big things to come.
Well, I like to check out the local guys. And by local, I mean Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, you know, a little bit in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I like to look at who's standing out and who I like from those places. And then I kind of handpick a couple from each, integrate them into my core roster. You know, you're going to see a lot of faces rotate in and out, and Colt Cabana will be back. And I might not even announce when he shows up. And he might just be there one day. We will be using him many more times going forward. But yeah, no, I want something different, you know, and I want to create a menu, if you will, for our fans that that offers a little bit from everywhere, and it's not the stuff you're going to see everywhere else. So, you know, I've got a lot of names, a lot of people I'm working with, and I'm not going to really dive into that whole
no need
once was signed, now I'm not kind of, you know, I see a lot of people kind of use that fallback of the, you know, well, let's grab this guy. He wrestled on TV, you know, right, 6 months ago, or he was. Yeah, I'm gonna avoid that. I don't really feel that's where the business is heading. I see a big boom right now in the top indies out there, and I think that's what the fans want to see. You know, they can tune into the network for all the guys that, you know, the locals are bringing in.
Well, it's funny you bring up top indies. That brings me to my question. Colt Cabana, who we had on your show and we had on our show, he was All In, which was basically like a Super Bowl of independent wrestling. What was your thoughts on All In, and would you like to be a part of the next All In? Hopefully we can get that here in the Detroit area.
You know, it's all good. It's a good move. It's right now is a good time to be a wrestling fan, I guess. And I'm trying to jump on that bandwagon. I've never really been much of a wrestling fan, but I see a lot of good things happening. And the people that the diehards, the real wrestling fans, you know, their voice is being heard, and shows like this are able to happen. You know, I talked to some friends of mine that are pretty active in the national independent scene, and, you know, and they say that the merchandise sales are fantastic. They make more merch sales than they do at any booking that they'll, you know, that they'll take. It's a good time right now, I think, to be an aspiring wrestler. And I think it's a good time for the small guys, the small promotions, to kind of go out there and give the fans something new, and maybe, you know, get some people out of their houses and get some asses in seats and watch some shows. So I support All In Indie Wrestling. You know, it's never going to die. It's always been popular, and I think right now it's on an upward swing. So it's only going to get better over the next couple of years, I think.
So another thing from the last show you did at the Copeland Center, the same as this one on the 27th, will be. The first show we were at of yours was the one that was at the Yak Arena. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on the venue of the Copeland Center. I definitely thought from being at the last show that, you know, it provided a much more intimate feel, and it kind of, to me, kind of raised the energy a little bit in the crowd because everybody was such close quarters. Give me your thoughts on the venue and, like, your thoughts on between the two venues that you guys have had since you guys have come back.
Okay, well, I chose the Yak for a lot of reasons coming back. It was more of a statement. You know, we're coming back. It's, you know, I've always believed go big or go home. And we made that successful and turned a profit, so that was bonus.
It's always good.
our crowd was fantastic, absolutely. You know, over 400 fans there, which, you know, I haven't seen in a show in a while. Copeland Center, I chose because the max capacity is in the neighborhood of about 230 to 250 people. And I don't want much larger than that. You know, I was appreciative of the fact that the fans came out and supported. We had standing room only at the last show. That was fantastic. And it did. It created an intimate environment, and it created a cozy environment. And there wasn't a bad seat in the house. Chairs wrapped all the way around the ring. And, you know, that's what this is. That's what these indie shows are. I mean, you know, when you go see a big act do a small, intimate concert somewhere, you know, that's a big deal. And it makes you feel a certain way about them. And I think that having the small, intimate setting is the right move. So, you know, I've signed up at this location for the foreseeable future, and I'm going to be doing other shows elsewhere, but this is going to be like our home turf, if you will.
And everybody, let me just give you this warning. If you're coming out this Saturday, make sure you get there early, because like you said, it was standing room only. So if you want to actually sit down, which you probably won't be in your seat very long, but if you actually want to get a seat, you need to get there early when those doors open up so that you can actually get a seat, because like we were saying, it was standing room only at one point. People were coming in right when the show was getting ready to start, and there really weren't any actual seats left. So get there early. Get your tickets early and get there early so you can actually get a seat.
Yeah, we had to. We actually had to pull chairs out of the locker room and tell the boys to stand. Some of the boys had to stand up and get the chairs out there to the fans. You know, and it's great. We've had a lot of support. This show, who knows? We got a lot. We're running against a lot. It's Halloween weekend. It's a lot of Halloween parties. A lot going on. So I have high hopes for the show. But you know, the standing room only. I didn't anticipate that until December. So we're a few months ahead of my game plan, but. Yeah, and we're going to sweeten the deal. We've got some VIP things coming out. We're going to offer exclusive matches for people that come early for VIP sales online.
Wow!
You know, we're going to do a lot of fun things to make the show even better. So my big takeaway is we have a show. I nitpick it. I go through and I'm extremely critical. Whatever I find, even if it was successful or mildly successful, I try to find ways to constantly improve it. There's always going to be something changing, and there's going to be new improvements to the show, whether it be with talent or setup or production value or even concession items. You know, we're certainly going to make it a better experience for the paying fans.
Well, another thing that we saw that you're bringing in, as in bringing new things in, you're bringing in a guy who we've done business with in the past and we'll be doing business with again next month. Our friend Orlando Christopher from Breaking Down the Ring will be making his debut for BCWA. Tell me a little bit about what went into bringing him in. And he's known for the deathmatch stuff. Could we ever see him doing any of the hardcore stuff there at BCWA?
You know, Orlando's got his own style. And I guess before I touch on that, I've known him for well over a decade. One fact, I don't know how much you know about him. He's, over the last 10 years or so, he's had his hand in training a lot of the top Michigan talent right now. He's extremely knowledgeable. The guy's fantastic. He's a great worker. He's a good person. He's an asset for sure. But there was a certain thing I was waiting for before I started using him for the show. And I'm about exclusivity. I like guys that you can't see everywhere. And he's really cut down on his bookings. He's taking a limited number of bookings. He's only working a handful of shows. So that lined us up. And that was one of the reasons why I made the decision. We signed a multiple show deal with him. So he'll be there for the foreseeable future, as long as dates align. And as far as the hardcore stuff, I like to offer a little bit for everybody. But that's not really my cup of tea. You know, we're primarily a family show, and I think anybody can land a bed of thumbtacks. How you do it, I guess, is the art. But he's very innovative in his style, and he's just a fantastic wrestler. So I think he's going to entertain the fans regardless of what he does in the ring. I'm sure he'll have his chair with him. But as far as like deathmatch style, I you know, that's not really my cup of tea. I like my ring to stay in perfect condition, and I don't like little holes in it, and you know, it's just, it's not for everybody. But there are certainly alternatives out there for the fans that want to see that. But the general demographic is that, you know, you're probably looking at 10% of your wrestling fans. So I mean, if you look at the indie scene, you're, you know, a handful of people really that are going to pay the extra money to see that kind of match.
Hey, Kyle, whenever you get a chance, man, could you post that video of him doing that coast-to-coast headbutt on the page, man?
I'm not going to lie, that was pretty fucked up.
I'm just saying.
Oh, it's,
he fucked yeah, Shane McMahon up on that one.
Like, when I saw that video, I'm like, oh, my God, what was that? I have never seen that before. So I'm hoping to see that this Saturday at the Copeland Center.
Look, dude, that had Shane McMahon, RVD, and all of them all together.
Man. So, what other talk time? What other what else can we expect from BCWA this Saturday besides the tag team tournament?
Well, superstar Bill Martel is going to take on the winner of a costume battle royal. So it's a fun little thing we wanted to do. Another battle royal. Why? Because they told me not to. So another battle royal. The fans love it. The boys roll their eyes at me. It's another battle royal. They roll their eyes. So, like, oh, man. Well, okay. They roll their eyes. So now we're going to make guys wear costumes to compete in the battle royal. And actually, I've got a couple people coming in for this show to help ensure that the superstar is going to have an easy title defense. So I'm hoping that everything works out. My guys come out on top in the battle royal, and superstar gets a nice, easy match. So you're going to have him in the title defense plus the costume battle royal. We got the first round of the tag team tournament. Orlando Christopher makes his debut against Barry Slammers. We've got Nolan Edwards coming in. He's a brand new guy, and he's going to have a pre-show match against Cesar Asher. I'm sorry. We've got what else do we have? I don't have the paper in front of me, fellas. So,
no worries.
Yeah. So that. Yeah, I think that about wraps it up as far as the show. We've got 8 feature contests and then 1 pre-show match. This one's really a focus for the kids. This is really a kids show. So we're going to have costume contests for the little ones. All kids 12 and under get in free. We'll have candy and all kinds of fun stuff. And then, you know, that's really the theme for the Battle Royal, honestly. Just something for the kids to enjoy. And you can expect as we get into the November show, you're going to see more of an adult fan experience.
All right, so make sure you bring the kids down to the Copeland Center this Saturday, people. Get candy and make sure you bring your costumes as well.
Yeah, and you guys will have an opportunity to maybe sit down with Christopher and do a podcast with him. You'll be set up, so you'll have the opportunity, anyone on the show, to sit down with, maybe get a chance to talk to Errol for him, talk to Christopher, you know, get some opinions. And next month, we'll have Allison Kay out there. We'll have Solo Darling. Christopher's back. We've got a couple other people coming out. It's going to be an exciting show.
So in other words, for all of you that are listening or that are going to listen to this, you need to make it to these shows because they're bringing in not just your local indie talent. You know, Allison Kay just wrestled for the WWE Mae Young Classic. And as you can see in the video, if you're watching, Devin's got his pinkies up.
Yes, sir.
They're bringing in the full gamut, man. So you've got a show here that's going to have, you know, stuff for the kids, stuff for the adults, you know, and things that you probably won't expect. And if last month's show is any precursor, you know, there's a lot of drama that'll come too, which will be good and fun to watch with the Priest and Blackwell match. And then you had obviously the way that the Colt Cabana and superstar Bill Martel match ended. So, yeah, I wonder if that cut in between his fingers healed up yet, but there's plenty for you to come check out.
It has. I checked on him yesterday. It's fine. He's doing well. His hands healed up from the board and the brick. His elbows healed up. His mouth is healed from the Colt Cabana bastard taking advantage of him.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to watch.
Colt Cabana just abused him. we're over it now. We're over it.
But you mentioned you mentioned Allison Kay is going to be there next week. She is.
Yes.
I'm sorry, next month. And that's definitely one person that I've wanted to have on the show, and glad we had the opportunity to talk to her. Talk to me about what
oh, go. No, you're good, Brian.
Talk to me about what you have planned for her on the show, and talk to me a little bit about women's wrestling at BCWA.
Well, women's wrestling is going to be there. I mean, we're going to have it. But see, I'm a firm believer that, you know, I've got an 18-year-old daughter. I've been married for a long time, and I believe that a woman is just as capable as a man in anything that they do. So you're not likely going to see a women's division, but you will see women wrestling. They will wrestle for any championship we have. Any belt can be defended by male, female, or Apache helicopter. It doesn't matter. but, you know, the thing about Allison Kay is she was actually trained by superstar Bill Martell and Matthew Priest. She got her start with BCWA over 10 years ago.
Wow.
We were her first ever wrestling match, and her coming back in November is a bit of a homecoming. So it's exciting. You know, we've kept in contact over the years. I know she's kept in contact with her trainers over the years. Martell and Priest were integral in getting her starting the business. So it'll be nice to have her back. So who she takes on, I don't know, but I certainly want to advise them to be prepared, because this girl's savage. She's going to go out there and she's going to put a beating on whoever she wrestles.
So since we're on the topic of Allison Kay, you know, did you get to see her match in the Mae Young Classic?
I did. Yeah. She did a fantastic job.
Yeah. I mean, for you guys having her come back, you know, like, what is that like for you guys to see somebody that's homegrown from you guys, you know, now basically in all intents and purposes has, you know, hit a lot of the big stages for women's wrestling. I mean, she's wrestled for Shimmer. She's wrestled for Impact. She's wrestled for WWE now. I mean, she's gone all over the place. So what's that like for you guys being there since the start of her career to see, you know, to see her, you know, come up and go do all that stuff, and then to have her come back here, you know, what's that look like for you guys, and what do you think that says about BCWA?
You know, a lot of it really has to do with the talent, you know, but she certainly has arguably probably one of the most successful careers out of the state of Michigan, and as far as I can remember. You know, we basically gave her the keys to a car, and she learned how to drive, you know, with a little bit of help. And then she, you know, she did a lot of things. She bettered herself. She worked and busted her ass, and she really did something with it. So it's just cool to be able to come back after all these years and have a whiskey with her, and, you know, say, you know, I'm proud of you. You did good. And it's all her, you know. She got her start with us, but everything she's accomplished is her dedication and perseverance.
And a follow-up question to my previous question. You said there'd definitely be women on BCWA shows, but maybe not a division. Is that because right now there might not be enough women out there that are wrestling in the Michigan area? And if so, how can we change that?
You know, I don't think it's so much that. We're in a different world, man. You know, let's just compare this to movies. Okay. You know, I'm a big superhero fan.
Me too.
And Wonder Woman, they killed it. You know, just killed it. And it picked up a whole audience. And I think at this point in time, and I know my daughter and wife would agree this, but women are tired of being grouped in a category where they have to compete and stay in their own lines. And as a father of an 18-year-old daughter, I'll be damned if I create that same category for my show. I'm not going to confine them to you can only wrestle other girls. You know, I'm against it. It's not something I stand for. There are companies out there that have female divisions, and there are some great and some terrible wrestlers out there. But I don't, you know, they're there. So if you dig hard enough, you'll find a talented group of females that we're going to be using. But I'm just not going to confine them to specific matches where they must wrestle a girl. They could wrestle intergender. They could be in an intergender tag match. It could be in a multi-person match. And any title they compete for, they have the same opportunities that a man does to win it. You know, I think that it's so dated at this point in time where you're confining anybody to a certain category and saying, you must wrestle in this, you must compete in this, you know, category.
You know, and a perfect example of that is for our listeners who watch Lucha Underground. You know, you've seen Ivelisse go against a bunch of other people, Taya Valkyrie.
And Sexy Star was a Lucha Underground champion at one point.
Yep. And even more than that, one of the hottest matches out on the indie scene right now is Tessa Blanchard versus Brian Cage. So that in and of itself, you know, should tell you everything you need to know when you've got someone who, and both of them really, when you think about it, you've got Tessa Blanchard, who is TNA's, or well, I keep calling him TNA, it's just habit, Impact's women's champion, and you've also got Impact's X Division champion. If that's not a big enough statement as to the overall feeling that women can do anything that men can, which I completely agree with your thoughts on that in general, I mean, watch that match and tell either one of us otherwise at this point. So I'm definitely a fan of that. Because you never know what you're going
to
see.
And let me say this, Mike. Kudos to you, man, for being that progressive and, you know, taking that hard stance. Because, you know, we've talked about Ronda Rousey on this show and how she broke barriers in the UFC, how Dana White said they would never have women in the UFC. And now there's four divisions there. And you're saying with BCWA that, hey, if you're a woman and you want to wrestle, come on in. You can wrestle anybody you want. You can wrestle for all the championships. So kudos to you for being that progressive and laying it out there for all the women out there that don't want those barriers put on them.
Yeah, I just think it's time, you know. Because you could look at any underdog story back in the day and say, well, you know, there's a size difference. Women can't compete. They're physically not capable of doing the same things. Well, that's bullshit. Because, you know, you see a smaller, more athletic guy take on a big guy all the time, and you see upsets. I mean, I just think it certainly is time to break some of those boundaries, and that's what I'm doing. BCWA is there won't be a boundary that I don't either tread on or stomp over before I'm done. I'm certainly not okay with the status quo. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not okay with. I'm just not okay with following the line and following traditions and towing the line and doing what everyone says you should do. In fact, if enough people tell me I should do it, I'm probably out of spite not going to do it. So, Allison Kay is going to be a good example. Solo Darling, she's out of Chikara. She'll be there for November as well. And I can assure you that they're not going to be paired up against each other. They'll be wrestling then. It's certainly time. I think that if others follow suit, we're going to make this this indie wrestling boom exciting.
Man, definitely looking forward to that, man. So you kind of touched on on how if people tell you, you know, not to do something or to do something, you're going to go the other way. So does that mean we should stop, like, campaigning for the Battle Royal to be the Knockouts and Three Counts Battle Royal?
No. No. Still a possibility, man. I like variety, and I get a lot of flack from some of the boys over the Battle Royals. But here's the thing. I've got 40, 50 people that want to work my shows, every show. And can I give the fans a fun Battle Royal with 10, 15 guys in it, give them an opportunity to get in the ring, give them an opportunity to work in front of my crowds, and make the fans happy at the same time? Why the hell would I turn away from that? It's just smart business. People want to see it. They cheer for it. They like it. And it gives them a variety of samples of different guys. And you can, that also helps me choose who's next to move up to the main roster, who's next to compete for championships, who's next to be locked down in a long-term rivalry. I mean, that just it just helps me out, because I scour the footage after the show. I spend hours and hours watching. To just take everything apart, and that's a great opportunity for the fans, for the boys, for myself. So yeah, keep it up, fellas. There might be a championship for it.
Sounds good.
Hey man, Knockouts and Three Counts title doesn't sound too shabby to me. But as we're getting towards the end of our podcast here today, we've talked about the women's match, the women fighting against the men. We've talked about battle royals. We've talked about costume battle royals. We've talked about superstar Bill Martell and everything and the like. Is there anything else that you want? Is there one big thing that you want to drive home to the fans that are either thinking about or coming out on the fence, of coming to the show the 27th, and just give us any last thoughts on what you think about the show.
Well, our show is for the fans. Everything that we do is to provide a fun, entertaining event. No politics, no bullshit. It's just a fun time for the fans, and it's going to be something they don't forget. We've converted a lot of wrestling fans in the last two shows. The last two shows, we've had over 500 people. Well, no, over 600 people. That's two shows. We're going to keep doing it, and it's going to keep growing. And this isn't, like I said, this is the first five shows are an orientation to introduce the fans to BCWA. And after that, we kick it in high gear. I'm still running at about 25% right now, fellas. So we're going to get there.
This all sounds good to me, man. And Knockouts and Three Counts is glad to be along for the ride with you guys. So you can definitely come out and check us out at the show and be ready to see somebody get their ass kicked in a good show at October 27th. Tag You're It. If you like tag team wrestling, you'll get your fill of it, you know, October 27th.
And yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. And I appreciate you guys, you know, being involved. And you'll always have a spot at the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, thank you for having us as a part of the show, man. I really do appreciate it, man. It's a great opportunity for us, an opportunity for you. And I'm looking forward to this being a long, prosperous relationship between Knockouts and Three Counts and BCWA.
Oh, it's going to be good, fellas. It's just the beginning. And that's, I guess, you know, to really drive home to the fans, that's the thing. It's you want to jump on the ground floor, right? So get involved now because it's going to be around for a while. I'm booked through 2020. You know, that's not going to change. So it's a long run.
All right. And before you get out of here, Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell the people one last time all the information they need to know about this Saturday.
At Copeland Center, Wyandotte, Michigan, Saturday, 6 p.m. If you get your tickets online now, which I guarantee you buy them online, you're guaranteed to have a seat. I can't say the same thing come Friday evening. I might, you know, who knows where we're going to be, but we're doing well. So far, the turnout looks great. Go BCWA.com, the event page. You can buy your tickets online. All the information for the event, all the social media tabs are right there, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, it's all right there. So check us out, and we'll see you at the show.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for joining us, man. We will see you Saturday.
Thanks, fellas. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Cool.
Take it easy.
All right.
That was Mike Blackwell, people. Make sure you check out that show this Saturday. And get to see Tony Thunder.
Hopefully he doesn't die this time.
Hope he doesn't get his nipple chopped off again.
Especially since his dad's going to be at the show. That would be kind of bad.
Oh, man. Please. Where's the camera? Please, Big Daddy Gaddy, please don't chop his nipple off this time.
Please do it. If you're going to do it now. That would be the perfect time to do it. But since we're on the conversation of women's wrestling, and that's something we've talked about near the end of the show with Allison Kay and all those things.
Are we talking about Evolution?
Well, I was going to get to it, but you kind of stole it out of my mouth, you asshole. Anyway, we're going to talk about Evolution this Sunday, which is going to be the first ever all-female pay-per-view. I know me personally, I have high hopes for what this could turn into. As we talked about with DX coming back last week, I'm a big fan of seeing some of the faces from my childhood. Like, I like, even though Devin still hates her, I'm happy to see Trish and Lita come back.
I love Lita.
You know, Molly Holly coming back I think is great. There's a few other names I can think of that I
love
hope were there or hope will show up. But honestly, man, I don't know about you, but one of the biggest things that I am looking forward to coming into this is – one thing we've talked about on the show when it comes to Ronda Rousey is that people felt like her interviews were not maybe as good as they could be. To me,
I feel like you're looking at me.
Well, I mean, you are one of the ones who shit all over it, but
I wouldn't say I shit
yes,
all
you
over
did.
It.
I'm you just totally shit
she
on
needs
it.
To work
but
on it. That's all
I'm just going to say that in my opinion, I feel like her interviews leading up to this match with Nikki Bella and her work on social media to help hype it, I think she stepped up her game in every area, and I feel like the interviews have been pretty good, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like she's definitely getting better.
I mean, I'm not going to say she doesn't have work to go.
Yeah, that's what it is. She still needs to, you know, still needs to put some more reps in. She's definitely getting better, but.
Oh, geez, here we go.
But last week, you know, she cut the big promo against Nikki Bella where, you know, she said basically the only reason she, you know, got the name that she does because, you know, she was banging John Cena and then he kicked her out the door. And the only question I have is that had Ronda not been the name that she was, would they have allowed that to be done on the show? Like, if that was Sasha Banks or Charlotte, well, maybe not Charlotte, but if it had been like Sasha Banks or Alexa Bliss, would they have been able to use that same comeback? Or was it because Ronda Rousey is who she is, they, I mean, she can get away with it? That's the only question I had about it. I mean, I was surprised that they went there because I haven't really heard anybody talk about, you know, the whole John Cena, Nikki Bella breakup really on TV since it happened. So, I mean, it's got to be nice to be Ronda Rousey.
That name. I mean, I've got a couple thoughts on that. Like, on one hand, I totally see your point, and I do think her name may have something to do with it. But that being said, considering how much the situation between Nikki Bella and John Cena has all the media attention it does. I mean, it's not like we're talking about something that people don't know about. It's not like we're not talking about something that it hasn't been well publicized.
Right.
And,
but as far as like other characters,
no, I agree. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Another thing with that, I don't know necessarily that I would say I would think that they would shy away from that, but I do feel like with a character like Ronda Rousey, I kind of think when you're you know, like when she's going to say what she's going to say, I mean, think about it. She's coming from the outside world and all that stuff. And I feel like if you have her come in and do these prim and proper, you know, promos, when if you watched any of her MMA career, whenever she was about to fight somebody, I mean, she was never shy to talk a little bit of shit.
Right.
So for anybody to think that that wasn't going to be what the WWE was going to do here, I think, to me, man, I think that you're not paying attention close enough. Like, to me, I'm not surprised by it. I mean, it was an eye-opener. That's right. What it was. It was to get people who were casually watching to be like, oh, shit, was she supposed to say that? And if you're listening to the show, we're talking about it right now. So clearly, it did what it was supposed to.
Quick question. What do you think should be the main event of the Evolution show?
Oh.
Want me to run through the card real quick?
I think the title match.
Which one?
I think, oh, man, yeah. I know it's not going to be, but I think it would be great if it was. I think Becky and Charlotte should be the main event. And I say that because I feel like their match at Hell in a Cell, or, well, Super Showdown, it had some light to it. But I feel like it didn't get the plug that I think it should have. Because, honestly, it's no secret. I'm a big fan of both of them. I think that that's got a great feud written all over it, especially now that they've finally been able to transition Becky into more of a heel with some of the things that she's done.
Right.
I think that would be the best way to finish it because I think that match needs to have time, especially when you're talking about a last man standing match.
I agree with you. I definitely think that should be the main event.
Holy shit, mark it in red.
It's not going to be, but I think it should be. And I'm looking at the Battle Royal participants. I didn't know this, but some of the alumni that's going to be in there, we have Molly Holly, Kelly, Ivory, Tori Wilson, Michelle McCool's going to be in there.
That doesn't surprise me.
But the one that kind of surprises me is Miss Alondra Blaze is going to be in that Battle Royal, man.
I'm cool with it.
I was a big fan of Alondra Blaze back in the mid to early 90s. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. You're going to have the finals in the Mae Young Classic as well. Rhea Ripley is going to be on the show challenging for the UK Women's Championship. You got Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. We all know who you want to win that one. For the NXT Women's Championship. Definitely looking forward to Evolution. But let's transition real quick while we got a little bit of time left. I definitely wanted to get your opinion on it. Hopefully Alicia is listening. Man, what was your reaction last night on Monday Night Raw with the announcement that Roman Reigns has to relinquish the Universal Championship because he's battling leukemia right now, man?
I can't help but feel for the guy. It's no secret. We've talked about it on the show. I deal with Crohn's disease myself, so I understand what it's like to deal with something chronic. But I have nothing but respect for the guy, because the fact that he's been dealing with it for 11 years, and this is the first I've ever heard anything of
it.
Yeah,
me too.
I've never heard anything leaked. I've never heard him talk about it in an interview. I've never heard any dirt sheet be able to leak it or anything of the sort. And that makes me respect it all the more. Not that it makes you soft by saying anything like that, but I can totally relate with not wanting any added attention brought to it. But more than anything, and first and foremost, and the most important part of that to me, man, my thoughts and prayers go out to Roman Reigns and his family, and nothing but respect to the guy that he, you know, has done what he's done. The one thing that does kind of piss me off with the whole thing, though, is it's sad to me that it took something like this to finally get the fans to, in my opinion, show the guy the respect that I feel like he's always deserved. I mean, you may not like the guy, but a lot of the things he said in his promos with Brock Lesnar are true. The guy's there every night wrestling, busting his ass. And if you look at it objectively, and not just because somebody doesn't like the guy, and I'm not saying you, I'm talking about fans in general.
Right.
The guy doesn't put on horrible matches. He's had some shit ones, but who hasn't? So, I mean, I think it's sad that it took something like this to do it, but more than anything and most importantly, my thoughts and prayers go out to him, and I just hope and pray that we do see him in a WWE ring again and that he gets his chance at the title again.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming. I did see something, I want to say earlier that day or maybe the day before, saying that there might have been an injury. And, okay, you know, he's dealt with stuff before. You know, he had like he had to have his appendix removed one time or something like that. And
you only get that removed once.
What's that?
You only get that removed once, just so you know, because mine got removed too.
Yeah, that was during early in like the Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns a few early on, and then he had meningitis at one point. So I'm thinking, all right, maybe it was something like that. But then for him to come out, number one, I could tell something was up because he was in plain clothes. So I'm like, oh, what's going on? And then two, when he came out, he said something to the effect of, I portray Roman Reigns, and my real name is Joe. I'm like, something's going on. Something's about to happen. And like literally when he announced that he had leukemia and he was relinquishing the championship, the crowd went silent. And it's like, and I'm pretty sure everybody there had the same reaction I was. It's like, is this really happening right now? Or is, because at first I was like, man, I hope they're not going this far to get him the reaction that they want. But once I realized, like, no, this is really happening right now, the only thing you can say, like you said, is thoughts and prayers to him and his family. And hopefully he like he said, kicks leukemia's ass, man, and pulls through this, man. And he's back very, very soon.
That being said, I have to say, though, the way they ended that show, not that I didn't think that Dean Ambrose was eventually going to turn on them anyway, but I didn't think they were going to do it in that show.
I thought it was the perfect time to do it.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm like, just saying I didn't think they were going to do it on a night like that. And I have to say, between that and what happened with Drew McIntyre and them, I mean, dude, that's one of the most entertaining Raws we've had in a long time. They gave you a whole roller coaster full of emotions. So I'm just saying, I thought that was one of the better Raws I've seen in a while. But
Watching Drew McIntyre hit that kick out of nowhere, man, that was amazing.
And he was airborne and everything. That's a big sumbitch to be in the air like that.
Man, it was hilarious, man. This Monday Night Raw definitely caught me off guard more than I've probably been in years. Like, one with the Roman Reigns announcement, Drew McIntyre hitting the Claymore kick out of nowhere, and then Dean Ambrose flipping on Seth Rollins after winning the tag team championship. That's
going to be the interesting thing, is how do they play that out?
And like that added too is like, okay, they just won the tag team championship, and now you turn on them? Man, great job, WWE. I criticize them a lot, but I also got to give them their credit when they when they hit one out of the park. And to me, this is probably one of the best. I don't want to say best because I don't want to make it seem like the Roman Reigns, you know, announcement was a good thing. But as far as like capturing my attention and being a riveting show, this is probably one of the, I'll just say it, one of the best Monday Night Raws in a long
by
time.
By far. I don't think that's arguable.
How much time we got, Randy? Should we wrap up? Should we call it a day? We got a few more minutes.
You've got like five.
5 minutes. All right, what do you want to talk about for 5 minutes, man?
You don't have to use it.
How
it's
about
just all you have left?
Oh.
How about since Tony Thunder brought it up?
If we're paying for it, we're using it.
So since Tony Thunder brought it up, what do you think about 50 Cent and Bellator, and do you think it's really going to do anything?
What? Doesn't he already have a partnership with him?
He has a partnership with him, but he's also part owner with Scott Coker, who's been Scott.
I don't let me just say this. Bellator, right now, if people aren't paying attention, Bellator is making some waves. They're putting on some damn good fights. They got some young talent coming up. To me, right now, one of my favorite up and coming fighters is MVP, Michael Venom Page. And he has a fight coming up, I forgot when. I think it was before the end of the year. But people need to pay attention to what Bellator is doing. They are putting on good fights, man. And they are just, I never thought I would say this. Me and my boy Bain, shout out to Bain, we used to joke about Bellator being Bella shit because they used to put on shit matches. And they are definitely catching up with the UFC. They're not there yet, but they're working their way up.
I mean, Bellator's got some great talent when you really look at it. They've got Mike Chandler under contract. They've got, let's see, who are some other names? You've got Douglas Lima. You've got, you know, and in the heavyweights, they brought back a bunch of old names. I think having 50 Cent with them.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. I don't think it can hurt, because the reason I say that is, I mean, whether you like 50 Cent or you hate 50 Cent, the guy is smart business-wise. When you look at it this way, the man took vitamin water and bought it for, I forgot, it was not nearly what he sold it for.
$17 and a hot and ready. That's what he paid for it.
I mean, he bought it for nothing and made it into multi-million dollar investment. And if he's going to come and do that with Bellator, I mean, anybody that really thinks that Khabib is going to go to Bellator, you're smoking some crazy
UFC's
shit.
Not letting him go.
But I mean, I don't think it can do anything but help.
Dude, they just signed somebody big. Damn it. I'm drawing a blank. Keep talking. I might think of it.
You mean We the People? Oh, just kidding. but
they just signed somebody from UFC, man.
So my only issue with
Eddie Alvarez. That's what they just signed Eddie Alvarez.
I thought he was getting ready to sign with one FC though. They made that official. I heard that he was close to a deal with one FC. Did they announce that?
Maybe it's
official?
Not Eddie Alvarez.
No, because I heard he's going to sign with one FC.
Well, you're right. All right, go ahead.
But, I mean, my whole thing with Bellator is, like, I totally understand, especially being a wrestling fan, the value in somebody already having a name. I'm a big fan of Frank Mir. I'm a big fan of Fedor and all the old names they're bringing back.
I think I have an idea who this might be.
Oh, jeez.
Hello?
It's me.
I love how this guy comes in the last 2 minutes of the fucking podcast.
It might not even be 2 minutes.
Good night, everybody.
That's my thing lately. That's what I do.
Well, at least we got Blackwell to promise that you're not facing Big Daddy Getty this time.
Oh, man. I don't know what was up with that. All I know is I heard, like, a lightning strike. Like, and then I passed out. Next thing you know, I'm in the air getting power bombed. That's all I remember. He chopped the shit out of me. All right. For those who don't know, wasn't there and don't remember, like, his hands is like frying pans.
Do you remember?
Clearly, I told you what just happened.
Wait, do you remember that, or did someone tell you that happened?
When I came to after. All I remember was seeing, like, really big hairy titties, and like, this dude took his shirt off, like, trying to cover me and stuff, and I'm like, man, this is an ugly woman, and I realized it was a dude, you know, and that's when I realized I shouldn't have been in there at that time.
So, Tony, since we're on short time, why don't you tell the people a little bit about your match coming up this Saturday?
Oh, man, Made in Detroit. Me and Darrell Jackson, we've taken out anybody that steps up. And you know what? I heard of some paper chasers. This dude looking like John B., the dude who looked like he was beating on Jill Scott in that Tyler Perry movie. We coming after him. I don't care if he got a mohawk or not. I don't care if he rapping with Tupac or singing or whatever it is. Just know that this Saturday, be there, is going down. We coming for them titles, man. It's just like that.
All right. Well, we got to get up out of here. Tony, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there to the people real quick, man.
Tony Thunder everywhere. Google me. I'm out.
All right. Mr. College.
Fuck your couch.
And he tried to steal my shit, you piece of shit.
I already did. Fuck you.
Man, that hurts, bro.
Mr. Collison, why don't you go ahead and throw your shit out there, man?
Well, you don't want me to throw my shit out there. We're live on video. I mean, I could do that,
wow.
But anyway, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T. Also, make sure you follow the show page. And make sure, guys, when you see these videos, I know a lot of you guys are watching, and we greatly appreciate it. Spread the word to your friends, those who may not be watching. Like that shit. Share that shit.
Like that shit.
You'd beat me to it. I would go in there next. But anyway, yeah, come out to BCWA October 27th, Thursday. Check me out on Wrestle Talk in the D. I will have the particulars with that up tomorrow. Watch me cut this kid up.
You guys having a knife fight, man? So I am Devin McKenzie. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63.
Crickets are so loud.
I know that was very, very loud. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News page on Facebook. We talk wrestling there. It's a nice little group. Go ahead and join. Hey, if you're looking for a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you find the vehicle you like, hey, I like that Chevy Spark right there. Shout out to Randy. Once you go in there,
what's wrong with a Chevy Spark, Kyle?
You know, I was about to say your license plate number. I'm not gonna put that out there.
That was where I was going next. But fuck it.
I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do that. But once you see that Chevy Spark, you go in there, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309, and you'll receive $500 off your purchase.
Don't get a blue one.
Randy bought all the blue ones. With all that being said, people,
fuck your couch.
You don't have to yell, man. You really
I
don't.
I had to. Tony tried to steal my shit. I had to cement it.
Until next time, people. Peace.
Peace.
Come to BCWA. Copeland Center. Wyandotte.